Father, we thank you that not only, Lord, you provide our physical need, God, but you give us bread to eat spiritually, Father, that your word is like fresh bread to us, God, and that you break it open to us and we can feast on it, Lord, we can be filled and we can be satisfied because you know us, Lord, and you know what we need. And this morning as we eat your word, Lord, I pray, oh, that it will nourish us, Lord, spiritually. We ask in Jesus' name by your Spirit that you'd open it to us, Lord. You'd give us revelation, not only information, Lord, but that you impart truth to us and life to us as we hear your word, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that this word, that it will not only nourish us, Lord, but I thank you that we will practice it, Lord, and exercise it in the Spirit so that we will not become fat and immobile Christians, Lord, that we will be effective and that this word will truly accomplish what you send it out to do, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we did this in primary school. I think most people, when we were little, have you ever taken a bean? What was it, those things that you grew in cotton wool and water? Is it like a bean, or an avocado thingy, stone, it's a good word, okay, and fascinating, and I must say, it's one of those things I can't wait to do with the children, because to see, you know, how they see, wow, this thing actually, there's something happening, it's changing, and it's growing, and there's something happening, and then out of this bean comes a plant, and then it also obviously bears its own fruit. Amazing process, and we're going to have a look at that this morning a bit from various angles. And if you, again, we're not able to attend the leaders meeting on Tuesday. I don't know if I'll put it on the web, but we'll make the recording available maybe on CD, or we'll organize something. But what we spoke about there is linked to this, but we're going to try and work through that, what we spoke about there in the small groups as well. So you'll hear from us again on that one. Okay. Let's quickly have a read at, it's one of the very well-known parables Jesus told. So I'm just going to read it quite quickly. Don't stand still too long on it, but you can read with me from Luke chapter 8. From verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, he spoke by parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled upon, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then the explanation. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, to believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones who fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, most of us have heard this, and we've, you know, mentioned it quite a bit. I mean, when one looks at the scripture in terms of sowing, mostly we read about either this, the word being sown, the seeds of the gospel, spreading the word of God, or on the other hand, one hears about giving financially or resources. So it's mostly when we're talking about sowing, that's kind of what we're talking about. And before we get into the more details of this specific angle, I want to look at just the principle of sowing and reaping. It's one of those amazing things. Call them spiritual laws or whatever you want to call it. It is like a natural law, like gravity. Okay. Whether you like gravity or not, sometimes it works in your favor, sometimes it doesn't. Whether you enjoy it or not, whether you choose to believe that the force of gravity exists or not, would you agree that none of us can escape it? Yes, okay, amen, praise the Lord. My wife, she's beautiful. She's not a very large person. She's small. She's not very tall. And she's petite, but at the moment, she is quite large in this direction. Pastor Fred says it sounds like this looks like somebody kicked her very hard in the back. I don't know what comes up with these things. But in any case, what he was saying is that she's still very slim, but it's literally just here that there's this huge, obviously, baby. Just on the side. I don't know why. Is it genetic? But on the first scan, everything was nicely down the middle in terms of sizes of things, limbs and stuff that they measure, except the legs. The legs were, you know, above average. And the second scan, everything was like off the chart. Big. In any case, it seems to be a big boy. Oh my goodness, why don't I get to that now? Yes, hallelujah, gravity. So at this stage, Arnold doesn't like gravity. But in any case, the law of sowing and reaping is very much the same. You know, you can decide, I don't believe in gravity, I don't that the guys are talking nonsense, that's not the truth, and then I'm gonna, you know, start jumping off buildings and stuff. But guess what? Gravity will still have an effect on you, and if you get to like middle 30s, 40s, gravity has all kinds of other effects on you that you didn't know of previously. And sowing and reaping is the same. Whether you're a believer or not, or whether you believe in it or not, whether you know about it or not, it still applies. It's amazing. I heard this amazing testimony of a guy that had a, I can't remember what his business was, but his business was near a little church. And I don't know how it happened the first time, but he figured out that whenever he gives financially to this little church, I mean, he didn't belong to the church, he didn't know what church it was, you know, but he figured this out. Whenever he gives to this church, his business just goes, booms. And he made that connection somehow. And although he wasn't a believer, he basically tithed. Amazing. So obviously it works financially, but in all other respects as well. And we're gonna look at a few different angles this morning. But the question here is, what are you sowing? I heard somebody. Oh, no, I didn't hear it. It's one of these things, you know, social media. There's a lot of nonsense on there, but there's sometimes just like these interesting things that pop up. Eh? So somebody put something on the other day saying, the secret to our, what is it? The secret to success, to our future, that's what I think, the secret to our future lies in our daily routine. What? And I thought about it a bit, and if you think about it, it's quite significant. Imagine where you want to see yourself in 10 years. Ideal scenario. Not in terms of, you know, having 50. Just for a moment, see yourself 5 years, 10 years. in terms of what would a normal day look like? What would your family look like? What would your work situation look like? What would your faith look like? What would your relationship with God look like? You know, I don't know about you. I'm an optimist. It seems. Apparently, guys that are inclined to be evangelists are very optimistic. But in any case, so when I get to the airport, even when it says full, you know, the parking, or even when I always go right to the front at the elevator. And I'm like, you never know. Up to now, it's not going so badly. But so what is that, if you optimistically think about your life, what is the ideal scenario? What would I like my family to look like? What would I like a day in a family life look like, or my work life? Or what kind of a man of faith do I want to be in 5 or 10 years' time? Do I want to be like those guys we see in the scriptures, or those giants of faith we read about, you know, raising the dead, healing the sick, you know, doing the stuff every day, kind of part of my life? Is that, you know, is that what the kind of person I want to be? You know, I don't know. Do people still aspire to stuff? You know, I want to, you know what? One day at 50, I want to be like that guy who's still lean and mean and runs a marathon here or there or whatever. Do people aspire to stuff like that still? Just think for a moment and then think, what are you doing today? What are you sowing today? What are you establishing today in your daily routine that is going to get you there? Anyway, I'm going to leave that with you. But what we're talking about this morning is not exactly that, but a little bit differently. But it's important for us to think about that, because what we sow now is going to determine what we reap tomorrow, next week, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Interestingly enough, when you become a parent, and we're still new in it, coming, this is the second round for now for us. So I've been at it for 2 years, so still very new. But I'm realizing this is something you learn with children. It's when you change your mind about something, or you know you want to, you know what, things should be like this. If your two-year-old doesn't agree, you know what, it's not going to happen immediately. You have to convince them in various ways and means, obviously, and lovingly. But there's a process that happens, and there's seeds that need to be sown, and there's a whole process that needs to be established until we get to a place of where your two-year-old agrees with you, and there's peace in the house, and you know. But that is, again, there's a process that needs to happen. In the same way, if I want to be that guy at 50 that has a six-pack and it is quite fit and it does, you know, still active when I have grandchildren, don't want to make that calculation now. But in any case, maybe it'll be, no, I won't be a grand, I don't have grandchildren at 50, praise the Lord. But then I might have to do something about my routine now and the way I treat my body, etc. But spiritually, it's very much the same. So I want to just throw that out there. What are you sowing? What are you sowing in your work, in your work life? What are you sowing in your family life? What are you sowing in terms of time? It's always this thing of, and this is the difficult thing for us with sowing and reaping, is the stuff, the thing that you have the least of. Right, so the thing that you need more of, okay, is obviously the most difficult thing to sow. Are you with me? Because it's already scarce. But if you look at a sower, he understands this. He might have some seed of only a little bit of seed of this maybe scarce commodity that he wants to plant, but he realizes if he wants to have any more, he's going to have to put some in the ground, and he's going to have to look after it. And then there's going to be a 100-fold increase, or 30 or 60. So that is often the challenge for us. The thing that I really am trusting for, that I am in need of, or that is scarce in my life, I need to actually sow in that area. Maybe it's time for a lot of us. Maybe it's resource, some other resource. And obviously around relationships, time is about the best currency in terms of sowing, in terms of investing into relationships. Okay. In terms of what the seed that we're looking at here today, let's quickly go on. just look at this principle here, as we just talked about, Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Excuse me. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now here he makes a distinction between, in terms of our actions, sowing to the flesh in terms of, you know, carnal actions, you know, sin, and that we will reap corruption and death. But when we sow in terms of the Spirit, when we respond towards what God is saying, we respond in obedience to what He is saying, then we can expect good fruit. Fruit that leads to everlasting life, to eternal life. And then interestingly it says here, do not grow weary while doing good. Do not grow weary, because in due season we shall reap. And again, the sower, the farmer understands this. When it's not harvest time, then it's, you know, there's different seasons. There's a season for different, seasons for different parts, you know, different seasons, different times. And when it's sowing time, then he's not going to be discouraged because there's no harvest. Because it's sowing time. And so he says, continue in what you're doing. Continue doing good. Continue sowing and, you know, watering, etc. And do not lose heart. Because in due season, the harvest season will come. The season where the return will come. So it's not an instant reward. It's crazy how that's still so popular out there these days, eh? Instant gratification. Now. One of the most difficult things to tell, teach your child. No, just wait a little bit. You know, delayed. Gratification. We want it now. Fast food, microwave. Yeah, no, quick. Imagine if you could invent something that works like a microwave, but the other way around. I've been thinking of that. Oh, they have stuff like blast chillers and stuff like that, which was really... They must be expensive. In any case. But imagine if you can have something that will cool something down in that same time. I'd love one of those if you want to make one. Okay. But we like that. We want it now. But it doesn't work like that. There's always an aspect of, okay, I need to carefully think of what I'm going to sow, what I'm going to say, what am I going to do, what am I sowing today, and what is the fruit going to look like tomorrow, next week, next year. Okay. But do not lose heart, and do not grow weary. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Okay, let's quickly have a look at this, at 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to look at a different angle in terms of seed. From verse 2 Corinthians 9, from verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give, this is in this context is given, but one can take it across to a different context. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now that's the first bit there. Powerful promise in terms of the way we give and the way we sow. And how God is committed to make his grace abound, so that we will not have a lack for anything that he's put across our path. Obviously, this begs the question, are you, what you're busy doing with, is that, are those the good works that God has prepared for you? If it seems that the, that it's not, you know, nothing is coming together, that, you know, if there isn't life in it, if there isn't good fruit from it, maybe one should reconsider. Is this really the good work that God has prepared for me, or am I doing my own thing here? Is this a dead work, as we say? But he's committed for us to have us. This is, look at the, it's, he always talks in such extremes around these things. Make all grace abound to abound, all grace abound toward you, having all sufficiency in all things, an abundance for every good work. Okay, so we can see the heart of God here. To that we really abound and overflow in provision for what he has called for us to do. Okay, we can have a confidence in that. Let's go from verse 10 further. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Now, there's a lot in there, but the key here is, he says there's not only supply the needs of the saints. So he's saying this principle that he's talking here does not only apply to us in terms of financial giving or resource giving, but very much in terms of the seed of the gospel and the seed of purpose that God puts in our hearts. How many of us, you realize later in life that you're busy with something, and then many of us, I've heard of many people that experience this, and then you remember way back when you were very small, there was a moment that you thought, wow, I would like to do this. And not necessarily a vocation or a specific job, okay? But I believe even as young people, even when we don't have a relationship with God yet, God puts seeds of destiny in our hearts, even at that age. Put seeds of destiny in our heart, preparing us, having this thing grow in us for what he has prepared for us to do. And in terms of us, I want to be a little bit beyond, obviously, just resources and that type of giving or sowing. And even looking at the seed of the gospel, not only in terms of the word of God, but in terms of our purpose for which we've been created. And I want to just think back quickly to the parable of the sower. Jesus talks about a sower. I don't know, does anybody know somebody like that? Sower? It sounds like an official position. But he says it like that, and I believe part of the reason why he says it, because this person, this is what they do. It's like a farmer, it seems, but this one is specialized, okay? So he is a sower. So this is very much not, this is not a one-day thing. The other day I did some sewing, not with needle and thread, but with, as you know, I'm trying to fix my lawn, some of you will know, and part of the process was to get some seeds down in the patches, okay, after killing the weeds, now there were some patches. And to be honest with you, I was quite, although I'm an optimistic person, I didn't really expect much. But it's looking right. Eh? Yeah, I was quite surprised. And I'm going to look at it a little bit of why I think it did go okay. But I sowed, but it was like really a one-off for me because I don't sow a lot. When we do put stuff in the garden, normally we buy the plant, you know. Although small, don't use seeds that often. My dad, he had the patience for that. You know, he would pick up seeds on holiday and then take them home and plant them and then nurture that thing, not months, years. I kid you not, until it's a little tree like this, and then he would plant it somewhere. Amazing. So, but what he talks about here is that we not only in terms of our, in terms of finances, in terms of the word, but in terms of the seed that God entrusts to us each of us, very in a very unique way. And the picture I got on Friday night was I saw Christ entrusting seed, precious seed, to each one of us individually. And it was like a, it wasn't like a random thing. It was a very much a look you in the eye type of entrust. I'm entrusting this to you, kind of seed. And I, and the picture I had later on when preparing is that, you know, when people in the old days when people were going into new territories, or in the America they moved, they had the big move towards the west. And in South Africa we had the great trek, they call it, from the south up into the north. And often when people went on journeys like that, going, and even on ships, you know, going to new country, new territories that, and exploring, often what people would do, wanting to establish a new kind of outpost or whatever the mission was, often they would take with them seed and bulbs and even like little, obviously little trees and plant in a little, depending, I suppose, on the space they had. And often those, you know, they had to look after that, or even on the journey, to make sure that when they got to the other side, they actually had fruit trees or had something to plant so that they could actually start growing food and grain and whatever they wanted to grow. And I just had this picture of us treasuring the mission, the mandate, the seed, the destiny, that God entrusts to us. And although all of us are here to make disciples, we know that we have received the Great Commission, we have received the command to make disciples, but still, each one of us has got a very unique part to play, to role to play in God's greater purpose. And I want to really encourage you this morning, this it's not like you're going to be the one in the limelight, or it's not like you and I, it's not for our glory, but there's also a personal entrusting of seed to each one of us. Something that we look after, something that we nurture, something that we care for, and that we actually invest in our own lives. And that also, you know, you can go, I don't have a lot of time to go into that, but how do I nurture that seed in my heart? You know, the seed of God's purpose. Do I seek Him about it? Do I just randomly float down the river and hope for the best? Do I have a conviction of what it is that God has given and entrusted to me? On the weekend, Pastor Fred spoke about the little boy with the fish and the bread, and spoke about our contribution. If you went, please listen to that when I load it up. But you know, what is that thing that God has put in my hand? What is that thing that He's entrusted to me that is actually meant not only to bless me, but it's meant to act as for the redemptive purpose that God has prepared for this area, this community, this nation? And I it's such a conviction that each of us have received precious seed, have received precious a mandate. And it's not only limited to our children and our legacy in that way, although that is a massive part of it. But there's it goes beyond that. What has God entrusted to you? And if this morning, if you're thinking, well, I don't know, you know, I do my job, I go to work, I look after my family. This is not meant to make you feel, oh dear, I'm not a good Christian. It's meant to get us to a place where if I'm not confident in that thing, let me hear from God. Let me speak to Him about it. What is the thing that he's put in my life? What is the, what is that, what is he entrusted to me that is a crucial part of the body, is a crucial part of the bigger picture of his purpose in this where I am now? And that, if you look, if you think about building puzzles, I'm not so keen, I'm not so fond of building puzzles. But on holiday sometimes, my mom loves it, Anna also does. And then inevitably, I get sucked into it, you know. And then I can't stop. In any case, so if you think about that, you get these puzzles where, well, most puzzles look like this, where each piece is unique, right? And in the same way, although the devil would have us think otherwise, he would us have, you know, think, you know, we always look to somebody else. We often look to the person next to you. How can, you know, I'm not measuring up. We're doing the measuring thing, the performance thing. There's, I really had a sense, when, especially on Friday evening again, the Lord just confirmed this, that God wants us to stop looking at one another and stop comparing and stop trying to achieve a certain level. But he wants us to look into his face to get an idea of the shape that we are and the unique bit that we put into the big picture. And you know what? God is sovereign. If I choose to, I'm going to say, you know what, Lord, I don't know, I don't care, I'm going to do my own thing. It's not like he can not fill that gap. Okay, that's the scary bit. Yes, he will. He will fill it. His purpose will come to pass. His will be done. His kingdom will come in this country. But you and I have the massive, great, amazing privilege of actually having a piece to play, having a part to play. And there's a part of the, I remember, you know, even now I suppose still there's a part of the church where people will say, you know, no, you know, only you can do that. But the reality is that we all are dispensable in a certain way. Although God wants us to do that bit, he wants us to bring our peace, he wants us to fulfill that unique part, but if we choose not to, his king, it's not like his kingdom will not come. Are you with me? His kingdom will come, his will prevail. So there's a really a precious place where we say, Lord, I submit, I yield, I humble myself because I want to do your will. I want to know your will and then I want to do it. I want to obey. Amen. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so the sower, he knows this is not a one-off like my bit in the garden. It's a lifestyle. This is what I do. He's a sower. I want to really encourage us to think and to really engage the heart of God about who am I? What defines me? Am I an accountant first, or an engineer, or a mom? Or am I really, is my identity shaped around Christ and around his purpose? Is that what I am to the core? Is that when you kick me awake in the middle of the night and put pressure on me, what's the first thing? Are you with me there? And it's scarily enough, even in church today, even in charismatic, even a very saved environment, very people, very spiritual, still when they're at work in the week, that I'm first an engineer, or I'm first a teacher, this is the ethical thing. That's nonsense. And when we stand before Christ one day, you know, and be judged according to our works, he's not going to be blessed if you tell him, no, you know, at work, this is how it works. Amen. So there's really a place where I have an expectation that God wants to help us to see him and see what he has prepared for us in a way that will, it will glorify his name in a way that will bring us to a place of confidence. That as the sower, we can say, no, this is me. This is what I do. Tomorrow it will be the same because of this seed, because of this purpose. God is not confused. He doesn't change his mind about it. It's not going to change next week, or, you know, necessarily. I have a confidence in what he has entrusted to me, and I can be steadfast in it. Amen. Now, a big part of what I'm sharing this morning, I want to encourage us in terms of where you are now and where God has placed us now. Because even as the sower, maybe you go to different, you know, different pieces of land and different parts, but there is a very deliberate purpose for him being in a certain place. Amen. And that's part of what Fred shared on Tuesday. I'm gonna, like I said, we'll touch on that again some a bit later. Okay, let's continue. Okay, now just looking about at the seed that God entrusts to us, and the seed of the gospel, the seed of purpose, Isaiah 55:9-11, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The seed that God entrusts to us, the seed of the word, the seed of destiny, the seed of his promise, is one that we can have such a confidence in that it will accomplish what he has said. Whether it be a promise for your life, whether it be that a promise that is linked to your to the purpose that God has for you, linked to your destiny, linked to the mandate that God entrusts to us, we can have a confidence, even as we read before, that for an abundance for every good work, that he says here, that word that goes forth will not return void. Amen. It will accomplish, it will prosper in it. And I want to encourage you, as we pray this morning for one another, do this regularly. Speak the word of God over each other. Speak the word of God over your children. Speak the promise, the purpose, the seed of promise, that seed of destiny. Speak it over your children. Speak it over each other in small group. Because that word will accomplish what God sends it out to do. It will prosper in it. The seed that we have, that's the precious seed that we entrusted with, is incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:22-23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Now again, you know, in seed, often it doesn't last forever, okay? And especially if you're working with bulbs and things, I think, as far as I know, they also have an expiry date. Okay, let me not go beyond what I know. But the seed that God entrusts to us here, again, he says it's incorruptible. It's not perishable. It's by which we've been born again. Okay, it's that indestructible life that is in Christ. And when we have Christ in us and when we are walking in his purpose, we can have a confidence that this thing that I'm carrying with me, if I'm walking in the purpose and I'm walking with this mandate and the seed that God has given me, I have indestructible life in me because Christ is in it. And when Christ is in it, there's going to be life in it, there's going to be fruit, and it's going to bring glory to God. And I can have a confidence that whatever God gives me, that I receive from him, it will bring life. It'll bring forth life. Whether it be a word, whether it be a specific mandate, it's incorruptible and it will lead to life. It will bring forth life. It will produce life. Okay. I mean, I wanna close. I just wanna look at one or two things. Now, in terms of us and the seed of the word and the seed of the gospel and seed of in terms of making disciples. Okay, I'm gonna read from Luke chapter 10. And this is the picture I had, that kind of this intimacy when he entrusts the seed to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And we see this very powerful picture of Christ sending out the disciples into the harvest field, sending them out with the word. And he does it in a very intimate way. He says, before his face. And I believe it speaks of a place where he really looks them in the eye, in a kind of very individual, very intimate place where he looks us in the eye and he says, I entrust this to you. I send you out with this. Go and preach the gospel. Go and make disciples. Go and let the kingdom come. And it's whether it is amongst, you know, in our children, our family first, and in our workplace, I believe there's a really an intimate place where you and I can come before the Father and we entrust something to us for your workplace, for your family, for your community, saying, this is my heart for this area. This is my desire. I want to, and you are on the, you're the feet on the ground, and I'm trusting this to you. Not only just like I said, not only our families, but our workplace. When last did you have that face to face time with Christ, with God, about the people at my workplace, the purpose of God for this company? What is God? What is on God's heart for my company where I work? What's on God's heart for the school where I work? The place where I spend a lot of time. What is His heart for me there? And whether you're going to be there for a season or you're going to be for long, whether it's the family which is going to be here until we die. However long the season, there's really a place where God wants to look us in the eye and say, this is my heart for you for here now. I want you, you're not here by accident. I want to entrust this to you and I'll send you out. And then obviously he refers again to the harvest. And in the same way that the harvest is on the field and is when it is ready, you can't wait too long, right? Any farm children, yeah. It's the same with sowing, and that's why I believe my lawn actually something is happening there, because one morning I woke up and it was been raining at night and it was raining quite a lot. In the morning I realized it's today. It's the day. The soil is soft. The conditions are good. I'm going to go for it. And I realized, okay, you know, if it's because normally the soil under my lawn is not very good. So normally it's quite hard and stuff. So I thought, okay, now. And I figured this out afterwards. It wasn't like I thought about it too much. But lots of grace there. But when God has prepared somebody's heart, when somebody's heart is ready for the gospel, I believe that it's similar. There's a period, there's a window of opportunity. And there's a period of grace there for which when somebody is really, really open. And I want to really encourage us, and I feel that's part of what God is saying to us as individuals, but also as a body, that in terms of us investing into people's lives, in terms of us making disciples, to really have boldness to see, okay, wow, this is the time is now. And then to take that precious seed of the word and to invest into that person's life. And such a good time on Saturday morning. Just went for a cycle with somebody I met through Erna's mom's group thing. And nothing deep spiritual, but there's an opportunity there because I can see this person is open for relationship. And I really have an urgency to not miss the window of opportunity there. Earlier, end of last year and earlier in this year, there was somebody that I was reaching out to who was going through a hectic time, and there was also very open that stuff happened, and a new lady came into his life. Long story, but something came. Stuff that happened was wanting to steal the seeds that were being planted and wanting to kind of cover the ground almost, if you know what I mean. So there's really something we must contend for. Now it's hard work, okay? When we missed that opportunity, now it's hard work. It's not beyond the grace of God, but now I have to work hard, okay? So if you're here this morning, you know there's some people around you that you've missed some really good gaps. It's not like they're now doomed, but maybe you'll have to but work a bit harder and trust God more and pray more and trust God to again to prepare their hearts. Amen. Are you with me? Let's stand this morning. I want to really so there's two main parts here that I want to focus on. Firstly, let's just close our eyes for a moment. Firstly, what is the thing in my workplace, in my family, do I have a conviction of the will and the purpose of God? Do I have a clarity about His mandate, where He's put me? In my company, do I engage Him? Do I engage Him on my knees about the place where He's put me, this community, His purpose here right now, His purpose in my company or my workplace right now? Have I had that place where I look Christ in the face and I hear His voice in entrusting to me a mandate, entrusting to me precious seed? And there's a limited time, there's a time frame of opportunity for me to run in obedience to what He's entrusted to me. And the second part, in terms of us making disciples, in terms of us walking with people, in terms of us trusting people to be born again, to come into a relationship with Christ, am I alert to see the good ground, to see this person is ready? Sometimes the ground is ready for seed. Sometimes the harvest is already ready to be plucked. It's already ready to be taken off. Sometimes somebody is so ready that it's just a matter of bringing in the harvest. Let us pray. Father, I thank You. We thank You this morning that You've called each of us to become, as you called Your disciples, said, "Come, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Thank You that each of us, one of us here, can have a confidence, Lord, that when You call us, Lord, You say, "I will make you." And we know that You transform us and You shape us and You mold us into that You've created us to be, Father. And we thank You in the name of Jesus this morning for an understanding that You entrust to us, God. Seed, Lord, precious seed. Not only of, yes, Lord, not only of our personal part to play in your greater design, Lord, but the seed of Your word, God, the seed of Your gospel that will lead unto eternal life. God, I thank You this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, that pray for each one of us, Lord, that we would have an urgency to seek You, that we will not miss that time frame, that we will not miss that opportune time to sow or to reap, Lord, even, or to do both, Lord. I thank You, Lord, even with the friends and the family and the colleagues and people are surrounding us, Lord, I pray that You give us a sensitivity, Lord, to notice, to recognize when the time is now. I thank You, Lord, for an urgency, Lord, that we will not miss it, Lord, but we would boldly take the opportunity when it comes, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray for every person here, Father. I thank You, Lord, for maybe some of you have lost sight of the seeds of destiny, Lord, that You've planted in their hearts. Maybe some have had that conviction before, Lord, but at the moment just kind of drifting this way and that way. And I pray this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, for a refreshing, that You again light the fire in our hearts, Lord. You again refresh the man that You've given us, Lord. You again alert us, Lord, and connect us so powerfully, Lord, with Your passion for the lost, Lord. Your heart for every person around us. Your heart for our workplace. Your heart for our family, Lord, our community. God, we will not lose sight, Lord, of the reason, the purpose that You've put us here for now, for this season. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that as we go from this place, God, I pray You open our eyes in the name of Jesus, Lord. Open our eyes to see the harvest. Open our eyes to see good ground, Lord, to see ready hearts, Lord. See even in those that aren't ready yet, Lord, give us grace to continue to pray, Lord. Give us grace to continue to seek Your face, Lord. To continue to partner with You in prayer, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. I just felt as Jaco was sharing and just as we were praying, the Lord, it just feels as if there's some of us here, you actually don't have that conviction where God wants to plant you. And when Jaco started off with the whole, you know, reception biology, a seed, if you cultivate it, it first establishes its root and then the shoot comes. And it's just, I just want to encourage you and I want to pray just for expectation for God to show you where he wants to position you, you know, in his body. And then if we allow him to position us, the gardener is faithful to come and to do that cultivation. I mean, you plant with purpose and you plant to grow. And the beauty of it is as you are positioned, your root will be established. And that is essential for the growth that can produce the plant and can produce the shoot and the fruit. So I don't know if there's any of you that it just felt whether you're aware of, you know, having a question like, am I bearing fruit? Or even, are you sure where God wants to purposefully plant you? I would love to pray for you because it's amazing. He is the constant gardener, if I can put it like that. And he'll be faithful in that cultivation. But it's essential for our root to be established so that shoot and the fruit that follows can come.